morning. Transitioning again. We have an amazing, amazing guest this morning, Linda Willoughby. Come on up, Linda. All right. Linda's going to come up and have a seat. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are great. Oh, look at Rick serving his wife. All the husbands take note, right? Chivalry is not dead. So we're going to hear from Rick in just a minute. But Linda has an amazing, amazing story. Linda has been at our church. How long have you been in our church now, Linda? Yeah, we're good.
Almost 9 years.
Almost 9 years. Wow. And you guys have such been a blessing. You and Rick have been a blessing. If you like our decor in our lobby, a lot of that was visioned out by Linda and her amazing ability to. She's so artistic and actually you go to her home. Her home is beautiful. It looks like a lighthouse. Like literally, it looks like a lighthouse. And so Linda, without a whole lot. Why don't you just go ahead and just tell your story?
Okay, well, thanks to Jessica, she's got me all calmed down. Yes, and I wasn't going to read this, but Rick told me to go ahead and read it. So, because it's hard to put 55 years into 15 minutes. So, but it could change in the middle. I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to bring glory to His name today. My story began when I met my husband, Rick. I was 4 years old and he was 5. Oh, it is. We lived across the street from each other in Redondo Beach, California. We played together. We walked together to school. We went to our proms. Basically, we grew up together, and we have known each other for over 70 years. We've been married 55 of those years. Just before we married, we both received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That came about when we started visiting churches on Sunday mornings, looking for the perfect church to get married in. You know, the one that has the center aisle, and this would be perfect. The center aisle and the right color carpet. But the last church we visited, we heard a message in the morning service on a literal heaven and a literal hell. I loved the message of heaven because I really wanted to go there. I loved the message, then I hoped that I could go there. But the message on hell convicted me that I wouldn't. Now, Rick knew about heaven and hell because when he was a child, his family went to some Baptist churches on and off. And he also knew how to accept the Lord, but he never made that choice. But I had never seen a church. I'd never even been in a church or heard the good news of Jesus until we started looking for the one to get married in. So Rick took me home that night. And before I went in the house, I told him I was upset and afraid because I knew I wasn't going to go to heaven. And in his sweet and loving voice, he told me what to do to get to heaven. He told me I had to really believe in my heart that there is a God and his son Jesus died on the cross for my sins and asked him to forgive me of mine and come into my heart and save me. I immediately jumped out of the car. He didn't even get a kiss or anything and ran into the house. I looked for a Bible, went to my room, and I sincerely asked God, if you are real and Jesus is real and died for me so that I could go to heaven, I need you to show me in the Bible. I just really wanted to see it in his word. I had no idea where to look. So I just opened it and it fell open to Matthew 1:18, the birth of Jesus. So I started reading and I was understanding every word. And I thought, whoa, this is just really different. I'm really reading this and understanding it. So I just kept reading all the way till the last chapter. So I heard about his birth, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, And at the end of that time, I was a believer. And I asked the Lord to save me. So about a week later, Rick came by and he said, I gotta just go away for a little while. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And I said, we've already been, you know, engaged for all this time. Did you find someone else? What's happening? You know, why are you going to go away? And he said, well, I'll come back. And so he had his trailer on the back of his car with his all his stuff in it. I think you had your motorcycle on it too, yeah. Because he had to ride the motorcycle down the cliff to get in this cave. And he stayed in that cave for 3 days. And he became a believer when he came out of there. And but I'll let him tell that story. So anyway, we got married in that little church that had no center aisle or the right color carpet. 2 months later, Rick was drafted into the Army for the Vietnam War, but we were blessed that we got to spend 2 years in Germany. It was like a honeymoon because it was only 2 months after we got married, or 6 months after we got married. And we had our first child there just before we left. But we had to go to Oklahoma for him to get processed out for about 6 months. And Angie was about 3 months or 6 months, I think, when we got there. And but while we were there, I became very ill with hyperthyroidism. And it's just what it says, you know, your thyroid is hyper. So it means that you are hungry all the time because you are burning calories by the nanoseconds. And you lose a lot of weight. You get hot all the time. You can't focus. And you just shake and you shake and shake and shake all the time. So he took me to the military clinic. And my heart rate was 210. And so they immediately put me in the hospital. And they put me in the hospital. And tried to get my heart rate down before they before I had surgery. So, I did have the surgery, but they didn't have the heart rate down enough, and I almost bled to death. And but I recovered, and we were always trusting the Lord, always trusting Him in anything, everything that we did. And so, we finally got to go home to California. And we moved to Simi Valley when we got home. It's a little town north of Los Angeles. We went to Simi Valley and bought a home for $26,000. And while we were there, we joined a little Baptist church. And it wasn't too long after we were there that we surrendered our life to just do whatever God wanted us to do. Whether that be missionaries, whether that be preaching and teaching, whatever. We wanted to do what he wanted us to do. And so the pastor there licensed him for California, and he became the associate pastor there, and we were both youth pastors there. We were there for about 4 years, and we really wanted to go to Bible college, but the pastor talked us out of it, and we just said, well, I guess that's because he had an opportunity for us to go start a church. So we went a little further north and we started a church there, of which I think Nancy and Jerry, were you in that church? Yeah. They followed us here. They love us so much. Anyway, so we started that church and then we started another church later on, but we finally decided it was time to go to Bible college. And so we came to Georgia. That's what brought us here. We came to Georgia for him to go to Bible school. I had Amy now, so we have 3 kids now. We had Andrew. I forgot to tell you. After Andrew, I had a thyroid surgery again because my thyroid went hyper again. Then when we had Amy, it went hyper again. And so, I'm way beyond. let's see. So Rick went to college, and then I did become ill again with hyperthyroidism. Because of my history of this illness, they decided to remove the whole thing. So I ended up with no thyroid. And they said, well, you can just manage it on your medication. Well, that didn't really go too well. And I was up and down and up and down and passing out and just kind of, they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it stable to stabilize me. And finally then it did. And but we found out about that time that a trigger for hyperthyroidism is giving birth. And so we decided, we're not having any more kids. We wanted six like the Monroes, but we said, no, we'll stop at three. Then in 1981, we joined an organization. It was a prison ministry that was out of Tennessee, but they had preachers down here, pastors down here that went into the prisons. So we joined them, and Rick worked at the Metro Atlanta prison and the Jackson, Georgia, because that's where everybody, all the prisoners would go to get evaluated and then sent to the prisons. And it was only 12 months term for them there. But he preached to them, he discipled them. I had a correspondence course with the prisoners that we did Bible study together back and forth through the mail. And but anyway, then they wanted us, this prison ministry, the head of them said, well, we want you to go full time. So we thought about it, and we thought, okay, I guess we could do that. Well, that means, you know, you go back in the day, you get on the road, and you go to churches, and you present your ministry, and you hope that they will support you. And so anyway, we ended up doing that for 2.5 years, and at the end of that 2.5 years, my body just couldn't take it anymore, and I collapsed. And I more than collapsed, I just really crashed. And to the point that I couldn't walk, talk, I couldn't do any of my chores or anything that my life just stopped. I had no appetite. I was on the toilet 24/7. I weighed 120 pounds. And in a matter of weeks, I was down to 79. And that brought more problems. And that's when the anxiety and the fear began. And I would have panic attacks every 5 minutes. And I was afraid of everything. I was afraid to eat because I thought that would do something bad to me. I was afraid to, I couldn't even watch Knight Rider on TV because it scared me. I couldn't feel anything. I knew that I loved Rick and the kids, but there was no feeling to it, nothing. And I just became so fearful. And there was times when he would take me for walks, because walking was the only thing that actually helped me to pretty much calm down. And for a minute, for 5 minutes. But at the time, we didn't know about all of the stuff about demons, and we were Baptists, you know. We didn't believe those things. So anyway, but I saw black figures chasing me up and down the road. So we knew that there was something else going on here. Not only was my body broke, but my soul was broke and my spirit was broke. And one time I stood on the porch and I was just looking up to God. I couldn't connect to God, but I just knew he was there. I knew he was there, but I could not reach him. And I couldn't pray. Rick did all the praying. And but I was on the porch and I was looking up and I just thought, what in the world is happening to me? I am just, you know, I'm falling apart. I'm probably losing my mind. And at that time, I saw my body over here. I was outside and I saw my body here. I saw my soul over here. And I saw my spirit out here. And I started screaming and Rick came out and took care of me. Because you have to understand that when you're in fear and anxiety constantly, I mean, it never let up. It was day after day after day after day. I never had any peace. And you have to understand that Richard was my rock. He was my Jesus on earth, is what I called him, because I couldn't reach Jesus. I couldn't reach him. And he was with me all the time, hugging me, keeping me calm, trying to keep me down. I'd have to get in the car, get in his truck, and go to work with him and sit there while he worked just in case I needed him. And so I got calmed down, and then I just told Rick, I said, you know, I am tired of living this way. It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years. This was our life for 2 years. And my kids had to do everything. They cooked, they cleaned. They were absolutely wonderful. And I know that it was affecting them. But when I got well, I asked God to just take all that away from them so that they wouldn't feel those effects. And when I asked him, well, what did you guys think about it, you know, when I was sick? Oh, we didn't think about nothing. You know? It was fine. Yeah. God protected them. And but I got to the point after 2 years, I said, look, I said, I can't go on any longer. I said, I've always been afraid of going to a mental institution, but I surrendered that day because I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep for 40 days and 40 nights at one time. And they say that when you get anxiety, the point of a nervous breakdown is when you become afraid of the fear itself. And so that had happened. I was afraid of the fear. I didn't even hardly think about anything else. It was just the fear. I didn't want nothing to do with it. And but didn't know how to get rid of it. And so I said, take me to the hospital. I want to be admitted to some mental place. I said, because I'm such a burden to you and the kids. And, you know, we did basically all of this alone. We were isolated. And so finally, well, he said, okay, let's go. So, but he had another agenda. So tell them what you did.
Well, all of you that have a Principia in your life, a beautiful girl, a darling person, whom you adore and whom you would lay your life down for. When she said, just go ahead and let them put me in the hospital. So we went to Northside in Alpharetta, or North Fulton. And I'm a quiet guy, really. People don't think I am, but I'm really a quiet guy. So I had her in hand, and there was a set of double doors opening into that place. And I walked up, and I kicked both of those doors open. And I said, I want to talk to the chief of this hospital right now. Don't bring me a nurse. Don't bring me a doctor. Don't bring me some kind of assistant. My wife's got something wrong with her, and you guys need to look at her and get this fixed. Sir, could you just come over to the side here a little bit? The chief of this hospital has an office just up a walkway here. We're going to call him. And we're going to see if you can go talk to him, bring your wife in there. 15 minutes, they came back. Yep, we've got that worked out. I don't know because
you guys have been through all, I mean, every other doctor. You've been through the litany of doctors at this point, right? Yeah, every doctor.
Yes.
Give her the. Yeah, they.
She's tired, and she's got menstrual problems. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, that's exactly what they would tell.
So anyhow, that's the way we got to the doc.
And the doc was absolutely sent from God, because I had nothing. Well, first I better back up. Before we did that, we did go to Barnes & Noble and get this book, because that's when we were done with doctors. And we said, okay, we got to figure this out ourselves, because I didn't even know what had happened to me. I thought it was something physical in my body. And so we went to Barnes & Noble. And we found this book, Hope and Help for Your Nerves. Are you suffering from nerves? Well, it felt like it. So I picked it up and started reading it. And oh my gosh, like a glimpse of hope. This doctor was explaining everything that happened to me in a practical manner. She explained your nervous system, how one, the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system, one checks the other when you're in that fight, the flight place when you're extremely anxious or nervous. And so I read that book in like half an hour. I mean, I was just chewing it up. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what happened to me. This is exactly what happened to me. And then she has also different things you can do physically to help stop. Because what happens is your fight to flight button gets stuck. Once you go through that breaking point, it gets stuck and you're just on. You're on high alert forever until you can get it stopped. So this book helped in that manner. It helped me to do some things that would soothe those symptoms, physical symptoms I was having. So we used this for about a year. My body started getting better. My soul got a little better, but not much. And my spirit was still out to lunch. So anyway, so the doctor there, we opened the door and he came over to us. He put his arm around us just by looking at me. He said, I can help you. And we went, what? You can? And he goes, yeah. He said, because I've just gone through the same thing a couple years ago. And so God had that doctor there for us.
Come on.
For us to get the help we needed, finally. And So he talked to us a long time, told us, you know, what his plan, what he was going to do. And he said, first of all, I'm going to put you on an antidepressant, and I'm going to give you a little pill for anxiety, but only take that pill when you have a panic attack. And so, wow, about a year went by. Things were looking really good. I was so much better. I put some weight on. I put a lot of weight on because antidepressants do that. But anyway, so I had, I was doing my normal life again. And so anyway, but there was something just still missing because I couldn't reach my father. I still couldn't reach my father. And so I told Rick, I said, I told you and Jesus, I get them. Anyway, I told the Lord, I said, okay, I'm at the point now that I know that I've got to do something with what's going on in my spirit. And so I said, I want you to renew my mind because my mind is what's messed up right now. And I know it'll help my spirit. So he told me in my heart, just read my word. And he said, get scriptures, which this is a stack of cards with every scripture on it that deals with fear and anxiety and how to rebuke the devil.
Come on.
And so these were all over my house so that wherever I was and had a panic attack, I could grab it. And I spoke it out. And then I had kept this one, this thing in my purse. I had this in my purse too. If I was out, I just pull it out in the restaurant. Submit yourselves then to God, persist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that went on for a year. I was, you know, I felt I was growing some, and a year went by, and I thought, I'm feeling so good. Maybe I can get off this medication. So I did. It just was torment again. And I thought, oh my gosh. And so I did that every year. Every year I'd go and then I'd try to get off of the medication. And I kept trying to get off, and I couldn't get off the medication because it was just so tormenting. And so then finally, I was going to a ladies' Bible study here in Town Lake. In fact, Rick is remodeling this ladies' home right now. And so she had just got back from the Holy Spirit encounter. I'd never heard of that. So I thought, ooh, tell me about that. Because I was so hungry. I wanted this to be fixed and be over. And so she told me about it. And I said, wow, that sounds good. So I went home. I looked it up online. And this was on a Tuesday, I think. And on Friday, they were having a praise and deliverance.
Praise and worship thing
on Friday nights. And so what I thought I read was that it was in Kingston. So I told Rick, I said, let's go. And so we drove up there. It wasn't in Kingston. And we drove all over the place looking for us, stopped at the Dollar Tree. Have you seen this place that's got these white columns, blah, blah, blah? No. So anyway, we came home. Well, I went the next day. I got on the lot of the website again, and it said that it had been at Hope Church. And so I said, oh, that's only 10 minutes from our house.
Praise God.
And so we had been going to a church. I'd finally got to the point, but it was in Cartersville. We never connected. They were beautiful people, beautiful, and we had such a great time. But when we come home, that was it. We had no connection. And so we were out of church, and we were looking for a church. So I said, let's go to Hope Church on Sunday. So we came to Hope Church. And at Hope Church is where I finally got my spirit fixed. And because of David and Julie, and some of you out there, you helped me to see that, well, David especially, and I guess I can say this, that when I first told him our story, my story, he said, and I said, he said, well, what, why are you coming off your medication? Because at that time, when I first came, I was coming off of it again. And I was in a funk. And I said, because I feel shameful. I feel like people are looking at me. I'm a Christian. I've been in ministry. And, you know, and here I am stuck and addicted to this antidepressant. I said, I felt shame. And I felt like God was through with us and that we, you know, we wouldn't be fit for any service again.
Such a lie.
That's a lie. And so he told me, he said, well, how do you feel when you're on your medication? I said, I feel fine. Everything's good. God's good. Everything's great. And he goes, and I sleep. and he said, well, Linda, why don't you just take that and forget about it?
Amen.
Well, that answer surprised me because I was waiting for someone to tell me, you know, oh, yeah, you got to get off of that.
And just have faith.
You know, yeah. So anyway, so I went back on my medication the next day. And between all of the teachings here at Hope Church, I learned all about the Holy Spirit, all about the devil, and how we have so many weapons to rebuke him. And that we don't have to deal with this. We don't have to deal with it.
Amen.
And even though I am still on medication, just a little tiny bit, I haven't gone off. I haven't gone off in 8 years. And God has blessed us. He's blessed us so much that, you know, we're still serving the Lord at 74 years old.
Amen.
And so
that's pretty so
much,
good.
That's pretty so, much that's so, my story.
Amen. So all those years, you were basically incapacitated.
Yes, I was. Yes,
just incapacitated. And what's amazing about your story is that your story was two-part, right? It was physical, mm-hmm. but it was also spiritual and
yes.
mental,
yes.
right? The way you
yes.
thought.
Yes.
And so
yes.
God used the medical for your
mm-hmm.
for your physical,
mm-hmm.
and he used, and like I said,
he used
the medical,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And he used His word to renew your mind.
That's right.
And what's amazing is that so many times, if you haven't been around the charismatic churches and Word of Faith teaching, which we have a lot of times, it's like it's either one or the other, right? And it's not one or the other, right? God wants you well. God wants you well. So right here is an amazing lady who was well. Amen. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit and by different things, she is well today
mm-hmm.
and serving the Lord, you know, actively serving the Lord, pushing darkness back,
yes.
pushing
yes.
forward the kingdom of God. And God used medication, but he also used the renewing of the mind through those because it was also demonic.
Yes, it was demonic. Yes, because at one point after we had been to some of your classes on rebuking the devil and how the devil, how he can not come into a Christian, but like oppress them and stuff. And so we went out and we bought a couple of the books that you had suggested and we were reading them at home one time. And apparently I hadn't dealt with something because we were reading and all of a sudden it was just like back at the beginning. I just had that horrible,
wow.
horrible, you know, I wasn't confident anymore, and I was just like anxious, and just, you know. And I told Richard, I said, stop, 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 stop. I said, you have to pray for me right now. we have to get rid of whatever this is right now.
Amen.
And I said, because I think this is really holding me back more. So he prayed over me, rebuked that thing, and it came out. And
amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So, yeah. So many, well, I can sit here and talk to you for hours, but we're not going to do that. But like, so here's the thing. There's so much out of the story, right? That God wants you well. He wants you free. Freedom is his plan, his desire. So she sits here free. Amen?
Yes.
Active, pushing forward the kingdom of darkness. She's not pushing forward. She's pushing forward the kingdom of light. Amen. Amen. Let's not get that twisted, please. But also another really powerful part of this story is she had a husband that... actually, the other part of that story is let me tell it. Like the other part of that story is that he really laid down his ministry. Mm-hmm. He laid down the prison ministry, some of his own choosing, some of the other choosing, right? Because he needed to serve his wife during this time. That is a super holy part of their relationship and
yes.
how these guys are people to be admired and to give honor to whom honor is due. To watch Rick love his wife, serve his wife, and help her through dark times. So how long was that? How long did you battle that on?
By the time I got here, it was 26 years.
26 years.
Yeah, 26 years.
26 years. And a husband, like most of us, haven't been married that long. I mean, 26 years. We're 26 years this year. And to spend 26 years serving your wife and honoring your wife and helping your wife through this incapacitated kind of in and out of incapacity is outstanding. And the part of this that's so great is that it's not just us, right? It's not just you battle it on your own. Mm-hmm. And there's such a mistake that we try to do. Well, it's just you and Jesus, right? Just me and Jesus are going to take care of this. The scripture says to confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Right. So, I remember going through my own stuff and hearing God say, David, there's things that I'm not going to heal just you and me. I want to use other people to use them to bring healing to each other. Right. And so this part of other people being involved in a community, when God spoke to us about this church, he said, I want you to build a community of hope. A community of hope that we can lean on each other, build each other up, encourage one another, right? And be there for one another. So that's such a huge part of that story.
I have no idea where I'd be right now if I hadn't found Hope Church. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, all in God's plan. And I feel like I grew in 8 years more than my 50, you know, the years before that of being a Christian. And one thing that I wanted to say about Rick, he was, like I said, he was my Jesus on earth. And I know that he would go out in the yard and scream and yell at God and everything, and just like, why wasn't it me? Why wasn't it me? Why'd you take her and do this, you know? But he was just with me. He was just right there. He walked many, many hundreds of miles with me in all those years, physically walking the roads, you know, all over Woodstock. And, but then there's this, okay, you might have another question, but I was going to answer the one about he said.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's the loyal love of God.
That's the loyal love of God. Because when this was all over, people would ask me, weren't you mad at God at any time that this was happening to you? And I said, and no one had asked, the first time someone asked me that, I said, well, no one's ever asked me that, but no. I was never mad at God. I never was mad at God. And I believe it was because I still knew he was there no matter what was going on with me. And even though I couldn't reach him, he never left me. He was always there.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He protected me in a way I feel that when it was done and over with, I can say I was never mad at him.
Amen.
I was never mad at him. I was never mad at the people that didn't help us. I was never mad at, I don't know what. To me, that's supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a supernatural thing. And he, you know, he just, it was just all supernatural the way that he just took care of me. And, okay.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'll tell you what, let's all stand together. It's time. Wow. Just wow. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, Linda, speak to, as we close in prayer, speak to everyone who may be going through some stuff, watching online, or maybe doubting where is God in all of this, right? Why don't you just speak to that?
Well, what I'd like to say is that if any of you are experiencing anxiety, there are like different kinds of anxiety. But if you're experiencing the kind where you are incapable of doing your duties or your things, or, you know, you're incapacitated, I would suggest that you see a doctor. Because now they have doctors. Back then, that was the only doctor, Dr. Egan, that we found. But I'm just saying that, and then make sure that you surround yourself. We didn't have anybody, but here at Hope Church, you guys have all kinds of great, great, great people that would help you and help you out. We didn't have that. So I suggest that. And let me tell you, this journey that I've had, he told me this morning when I was sitting over there, and I was just getting a little bit anxious, and I thought, no, God, I don't want to get anxious. And he said, you don't have to be anxious. He said, because this is your story. This is the life I gave to you. And in the end, it's been the most beautiful life I've ever had, or that I would ever think of having, because he changed me and he made me a different person, a person that, you know, I feel like I can overcome anything.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
So if you're going through it, let God help you go through it. Go through it, because at the end of it, when he's all done, he puts you in these places so that he can get you where he wants you to be. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be joyous. He wants you to be, you know, he wants you to be all that you can be. And so whenever you think about it, just think he's pushing you. He's pushing you. He's getting you to that place. He's getting you to that place where he wants you to be. And I feel today that I am where I'm supposed to be. And I love the life, no matter what happened. I love it.
It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. Well, Linda was kind enough to print out all these scriptures that she used while she was battling it all out. So I'm going to leave these up here after the service. And you're welcome to go grab maybe you or somebody else. These are anxious times,
yes,
right? And so battling anxiety is a real thing, especially in our world today. So I would encourage you to come up and grab one of those, and if maybe for a friend or just so that you can have them. And then Linda, I'm going to be so bold to ask Rick and Linda if they're going to stand over there. And if you want prayer from these guys, I would encourage you. These guys are prayer warriors. And I want to stand with you in all of these things. So let's all just close our eyes for a minute as we dismiss. God, we thank you. It was for freedom that Christ came to set us free. And God, we thank you, Father, no longer to be bound by any yoke of slavery. God, we thank you, God, that you have redeemed us. You have made us whole. And God, I thank you, God, that you are working mightily in us in the mighty name of Jesus. God, for the purpose, God, to shine like lights everywhere we go of your incredible kingdom and of your incredible goodness towards us. And Father, I pray, God, as you set us free, God, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the credit, God, that belongs to you. And God, we'll be careful, God, that as we will use the freedom that you've given us, God, to go out in this world and push back darkness and push forward the kingdom of God. God, we thank you for it. We ask, God, for your anointing. Do this. I'm just sensing this. Just lift your hands right where you're at. God, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that you would anoint us this week. God, I pray, God, that you would put people across our paths this week to be bearers of good news. God, to be lights, encouragement. Father, I pray, God, that even in some of our own anxiety, God, that we will be your lights and your vessels to bring about peace and your kingdom this week. Father, I pray, God, that we would be people that push back darkness this week. And God, we'll give you all the glory and all the credit. And God, we thank you, God, that give us opportunities to stand beside those who are battling. God, give us opportunities, God, to speak life to people this week, to be your hands extended, to be your loyal love. Use us, God, to show your loyal love to people this week. God, we thank you for your anointing. Just say this. Say, I am anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. In Jesus' name, say, I shall not be squeezed into the mold of this world. I choose God's way, his thoughts about me. Say, I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the victory this week. In Jesus' name. And all God's people shout out a big amen. 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 God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week. If y'all need prayer, if you want prayer, come up and get prayer from these guys. Thank you.